This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Hope you're having a great day. It's time to talk some hockey. The man previously known as Puck Daddy, now senior NHL writer at ESPN, Greg Wyshynski, joins us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. Thanks for jumping on again. How the heck are you?
I'm good. I actually got back from a little post-trade deadline vacay. My pasty basement dwelling skin has some semblance of a tan, so life is good.
Yeah, I saw your Twitter account was a little light there on the content. You managed to fully unplug, huh?
I have to. It's a rule I made for myself very early on in my career that, like, when I'm on a beach or something, like, I cannot be scrolling Twitter, because that's when your fingers get real itchy. And someone is something about an article you wrote like a week before, and now all of a sudden you're arguing with somebody on the internet while you're supposed to be, like, knocking back pina coladas. I tend to, like, try to stay off social and also just, like, not write anything for a week, which, as somebody who writes a lot, is hard but ultimately refreshing.
Yeah, I can imagine that's therapeutic. Now, we're waiting for something therapeutic here with the Stars. The trade deadline was amazing. We want to talk to you about that. But, you know, a couple tough losses here over the weekend, Winnipeg and Colorado. Are we jumping the gun calling the Stars a favorite in the West?
No, I don't think so. I had them winning the Cup before the season for a reason. And that reason is that, you know, they've bubbled under the surface now for two consecutive years in the conference final. I think this team that Jim Nill has put together is of a Stanley Cup quality. I also love the fact that, and Rantanen in theory is going to be one of them, they just have a number of guys that seem to rise to the occasion in the postseason, whether it's Wyatt Johnston or Jake Oettinger. And so, you know, I think it's all there for them. I know we're going to talk about the trade deadline in a second. The only disappointment for me for them at the trade deadline was not finding that Chris Tanev type to add to the blue line. And I know that, you know, part of the math right now for Dallas is that the youngsters are going to be the ones to kind of fill in and play those roles. But there's a reason they made that trade last year for Tanev, and it's to have that veteran hand available to you in the playoffs, even if as an insurance policy. So to me, like, as long as everybody gets healthy when they're supposed to get healthy, this is a team that top to bottom impresses me more than anybody else in the West. And I think they've got the stuff to win.
Yeah, and when you, okay, kind of further for us, then why do you think they have this stuff? What stuff do you like about this team?
Well, first of all, I love that it's a playoff-tested group. I mean, obviously, you have some players on this roster that have oodles of career playoff experience. I like how the pieces fit. I like how a lot of the players on this team that make up the core of this team are just as good offensively as they are defensively. I like that this group has, like I said, gotten to that bridesmaid position mm-hmm. in consecutive seasons and not broken through, which just and you could look no further than Colorado and Nathan MacKinnon to understand how much that hunger can drive an athlete to finally break through and win after coming so close so many times. Ultimately, I think they're a team that knows how to play playoff quality hockey. And again, you know, if everybody's healthy, they've got a number of accomplished scorers, Rantanen being added to that group, and they have what I think is really the essential part of the DNA of any championship team, which is a defenseman that can give you 25 plus minutes a night and lead the way with his play in Hakkinen. And then you have to have a goaltender that is, in some cases, definitely not going to lose you a series, but in some cases can win you a series, and I think mm-hmm. they have that Nottinger.
Is there any chance they could go on a run without Heiskanen if he's not available to maybe start the playoffs, or is that like he's a must-have?
Well, considering what's looming for them in the first round of the playoffs based on like the standings and the math, I think you want him in the lineup to take on MacKinnon and company, as that seems to be kind of where things are headed. Could they win that series? Sure, why not? I mean, I think they can. They've shown that they can play Colorado tough, and Colorado is not an inherently unbeatable team. But you'd certainly want them there to increase your chances of getting through what could be, you know, just one of the most epic battles of the playoffs in the first round.
It's Greg Wyshynski here, ESPN, with you on The Fan. With hockey, it's so mysterious with the injuries. I mean, how sure can we be that Miro is going to be back and be his usual self?
You can't. I mean, you just don't. You know, no one knows. I mean, in the cases of a lot of these situations, the assumption is, well, you keep him on long-term injury reserve until game one of the playoffs, because that's what we've seen teams like Tampa and Vegas do so adeptly with their injured guys. But, you know, you look at a situation like the Florida Panthers, for example. I mean, the assumption is that Matthew Tkachuk is going to be on long-term injured reserve until game one of the playoffs, but he'll come back fit as a fiddle and ready to annoy everybody with his new teammate, Brad Marchand. But we don't know. And that's the case with some of these other injured players too. He's going to include it. So hopefully he comes back. I mean, I think that he is an essential ingredient for any kind of sustained Stanley Cup run that they make. And you know, I seriously hope that he is ready for game one of the playoffs.
It was really neat to see Colorado give Rantanen the reception that they did in his return to Colorado. We're so excited to have him. From, you know, from your perspective, how much does he tip the balance of power in Dallas's favor?
Well, that's part of the fun of this for me with Dallas now, is like, on top of all of the expectations of can this team break through and win a cup, you also have a guy that really needs to prove himself a little bit in Rantanen. I mean, not prove himself in the sense that he's got the contract, so he doesn't have to prove himself in that regard. But I do think that there's a little bit of a perception now that Colorado wasn't willing to pay him the money he was looking for because they felt that they could go out and find somebody who is 85% Mikko Rantanen, 80% Mikko Rantanen, and sign and have that person under contract for a lot less money than what Rantanen was looking for. And so, you know, there's a certain perception of, like, what is he the product of Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar? Are his sterling playoff numbers, which has honestly been his calling card both in Carolina and now in Dallas, you know, how much of that is playing with those two, you know, potentially Hall of Fame players, and how much of that is Rantanen really driving play himself? So I think it's a really interesting situation for him where, you know, he doesn't have to worry about going to market and being a free agent and having to impress suitors anymore. He's got the contract. He knows where he's going to be. But I do think there's a certain amount of, you know, proving himself, not only with him not performing all that well in Carolina before the trade, but also in coming to Dallas and having all of this hanging over of okay, now show us that you're that star that we all thought you were in Colorado, and that you weren't simply just a product of playing with two of the best players in the world.
Greg, when you look at, and you mentioned the, you know, for the playoffs, and which one of those top teams, and we always see this in hockey, which one of the top teams, say in the Western Conference, could be the one that could be all of a sudden gets knocked out, first round knockout? Is there any, is that going to happen anymore, or is it possible this year?
Well, it's a bit of a cheat to say this because this is sort of their reputation, but Winnipeg, I mean, we don't know. We don't quite know who they're going to face yet.
Sure.
Because that last seed in the West is very much in flux. I think the St. Louis Blues currently have the best percentage chance of making the cut in that last wild card spot. But I kind of keep my eye on Utah a little bit in that situation because I think they're really playing well ever since they got healthier. But, you know, Winnipeg has gone out in five games in consecutive seasons. And I wrote about them earlier this year for ESPN, and they're very cognizant of this. They understand that, you know, they're playing great and they're banking points, and Connor Hellebuck is going to win a second straight Vezina and maybe even be the MVP of the league as their goaltender. But, you know, as a team, that hasn't mattered in the first round. They've gotten eliminated in consecutive seasons. And for Hellebuck, his numbers last year in the playoffs were atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got a little bit of something to prove, too. So just based on recent history, I got to say Winnipeg. But obviously a lot depends on who they end up matching up with in that first round and who sneaks in that wild card. And frankly, how hot they're playing. I mean, let's not forget we're only a few years removed from the Tampa Bay Lightning looking like the best team in the world and then getting swept by the Blue Jackets in the first round because
–
Yeah, because the Lightning didn't have a lot to play for the last month of the season, and the Jackets came in guns a-blazing, having to win every game basically down the stretch just to make the playoffs.
How much complaining do you hear from hockey fans just about the playoff format?
It's a great question. That's a very, very good question because I am somebody who wants the playoffs expanded. I grew up as a hockey fan in a much different era when there was like, you know, 22 or 23 teams and like 16 get in. And now you're feeling like, you know, a good portion of the league is getting into the playoffs. Now we're at 32. Half the league is sitting at home during the most important time of the year, a time when, you know, casual sports fans are watching hockey because it's the playoffs, and half the league is sitting home. So I'm a big proponent of expanding the playoffs, 10 from each conference. You do a little play-in. You have 7-play-10, you have 8-play-9, and you generate a lot of interest in the product. You get more teams involved, and you keep the 16-team tournament intact because you're doing a play-in round. That's not a very popular thing, though. Like, there's a lot of people that like it, but a lot of fans are just like, I'm cool with 16. And putting in teams that aren't in that top 8 in each conference just waters down the playoffs. So, honestly, I couldn't tell you what the majority opinion is. I want to believe that a lot of fans want more teams in the playoffs, but a lot of fans are very, very vocal about not wanting it. And the bottom line is that we're not going to get it as long as Gary Bettman is the commissioner because he has been so adamant about not expanding the playoffs while every other major league has done it. Football, basketball, NFL, they've all expanded while the NHL hasn't. He's so adamant about not doing it that the owners, the board of governors, don't even bring it up at the meetings. So as long as he's commissioner, we're not getting an expanded playoff.
Greg, I wanted to ask you this question about, you mentioned how you cover hockey. Does it make your job easier when you don't know about the injuries, like the upper and lower body injuries and stuff like that? Or is that something that you would like to see him change? And my second question to you on this is that if you were to know a guy's injury and you report it, does the team get all over your ass about it?
On the second one, without question. And I think the big difference between the generalization of injuries in the NHL and what you just mentioned as far as reporting on, the biggest disconnect is concussions.
Yeah.
Because it's a very, very sensitive subject for the NHL. You know, the NHL has to deal with the fact that other leagues have acknowledged the link between repeated, you know, trauma to the head and CTE. The NHL has not done that in the same way that the NFL has, for example. So when you are dealing with concussions and injury, that can certainly keep a player out for an indeterminate amount of time. If they're saying upper body and you report concussion, there's a very good chance you're going to get an angry phone call.
And
that's just kind of how it goes. As far as making our lives easier, I mean, anytime we can get more information disclosed by these teams, it's going to be a lot easier to do our jobs. But I mean, we can't ignore the elephant in the room, which is gambling. And it is kind of amazing that with the way that the NHL has embraced single game sports betting and, you know, has these sponsors and every broadcast is crammed with money lines and over-unders, that they haven't been forced to be more candid about injury disclosure. And yet that hasn't happened.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, thank you so much for your thoughts on this hockey situation, sir. Enjoy the rest of the season. We'll try to catch up with you real soon.
That'd be awesome. Thank you so much.
Salute. Yeah, what a stud, man.
Yeah.
10 out of 10 guests, his information, his opinions, it's all there with the Puck Daddy.